Tides and Mights podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. Tides and Mights podcast. Tides and Mights.
Tides and Mights podcast. It's the perfect wrestling podcast. You've got that guy who bit that other guy. Someone hit with a chair and we all side Tights and Bites. Guys, welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the Dan of POD, Danielle Radford. Very well done, Julian. And I am joined today by my fellow member of the Nation of Conversation, best for Lindsness, Lindsay Kelk.
Yay! I am best for Lindsness. I don't know how much Linds you need, but I am the best for it. If anyone was looking for someone for Lindsness,
look,
I'm the best.
It's beginning to look a lot like Lindsness.
It's beginning to look a lot like Lindsmas. This week really did look a lot like Lindsmas.
It really did. So first, y'all, don't you worry. We're going to get to the mess. The mess is so messy and so complicated. And for a lot of people, because I know a lot of y'all like watch wrestling through us, which I think it's great. It's like we're a radio play. I think it's lovely. Thank you for choosing us to be that for you. But also, a lot of folks also aren't necessarily up on like all the backstage stuff. And we don't usually comment on too much of that because a lot of times it's like rumors and we don't know what's happening.
To laugh, but yeah.
I mean, we do it in the group chat, Lindsay, but we try to keep decorum. Look, we are a prestigious podcast. Cool. None of this, no impropriety. But so, look, we're going to get there. But first, we're going to talk about the actual wrestling that happened that wound up getting overshadowed by all of that.
I love your optimism there in the day of like whatever deity you subscribe to, the news cycle in this year, 2022.
That's a fair point.
What's going to happen today before this podcast even goes out? Like, holy.
I literally checked like right before we got here just to make sure I'm as caught up on it. And I'll do it again before we get to the main event.
Yeah. It was such a good week of wrestling. Without the shenanigans, we would have had so much to talk about. And I do want to give everyone and everything its due because what a week of matches across the board. I watched Clash at the Castle. Also, I just do want to say, hey, WWE, can we get more 10 a.m. pay-per-views on the West Coast?
Yo! Right? That was dope. Because I saw a bunch of Americans tweeting like, oh my God, what time does this start? And I was like, oh, that's how everyone else in the world feels when they have to watch stuff the same time as we do. Except for y'all, it's like 1 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. In the UK, it's the middle of the night. So there's no watching of it. And there's just, in this day and age, it's impossible to stay unspoiled. So, you can't wait a whole day or even wake a work day. I know people who take the day off the day after Mania so they can just stay home and watch it before they get it ruined for them. I was like, I got my pancakes. I got my snacks.
Yeah,
like
this, right?
And I'm all done and dusted by one. I have the rest of my day.
Yo, bro kicks and an egg McMuffin? That's just two tastes that taste great together. Right? That's what that is.
I was like, I think I will use the macadamia nut serum during the Randy Seth match. Yum, 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 yum. No, I loved it. I thought it was such a good show, top to bottom. Obviously, the group chat was on fire. We were just having a lovely fucking time.
Oh, we were. Yeah. We were all awake. It's the morning, so we've all just had our coffee.
There's no one highlight that I feel like I can pull out. Obviously, everyone has a lot of good things to say about Sheamus and Gunther, and I can only add my voice to that. It was a fantastic match. This, to me, was the pinnacle of what we are experiencing now with the Triple H era, if that's what we're calling it, is this is what he is going to give us. It's like this kind of wrestling and this kind of match is back, where it is a story told in the ring by two guys. You know, they've put this story together in just a couple of weeks. There was no history here. There was nothing here between these two fellas that we know about on TV. And they made it feel so important so quickly. Everyone did great work. I think putting Imperium back together, regardless of our feelings about Imperium, and I've voiced my concerns about it as a faction before.
Certainly have.
I think it makes sense now. I think obviously WWE is leaning into factions, and I'm not the biggest faction person. I don't think everyone needs to be in a faction, but I like the smaller factions. Like, what I don't like is when there's 15,000 people in it and I'm not really quite sure
Yeah, when it's like half the show was on one and half the show was on the other.
And I don't know why they're fighting each other. Like, this makes perfect sense. I have Imperium versus, I can't remember what Seamus is.
The Brawling Brutes.
The Brawling Brutes. I want to call them the Peaky Blinders so bad that my brain has like ticked that box and it just refuses to accept
that's who
the
they
reality
are
of it.
Yeah, they are the Peaky Blinders now.
Why would I learn Brawling Brutes when Peaky Blinders is right there? Pete Dunne's from Birmingham. It works. I thought everyone did their best work. Everyone made it feel important. Everyone made it feel so good. And the match itself was so strong. It was a shock ending. I think we all thought Seamus was going to win.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for everyone, but...
Also, it just, you know, it reminds you of all of those times. It's like, ugh, a Seamus match. Ugh, Seamus versus this person again. That there's a reason why there are people that they keep around who are workhorses, who are constantly in stuff. Because no matter what, you give that giant ginger the chance to shine, and he is going to put on a fucking show for you.
Yeah.
This is one of those ones where I'm like, oh, right, he was a champ at some point. That makes sense, because sometimes he's having a run where you're like, that was the champ at some point. And that was one of those ones where it's like, oh, yeah, I know.
No, when he's good, he's very, very good. He's very charismatic. He's great in the ring. He tells a good story. His facials are always incredible. Like, his expressions are so good. I believe everything he does with his body, you know? Like, he's great on the mic, but he doesn't even need to be great on the mic. He has everything. Keeping it on Gunther is fucking genius, because now... Having Gunther beat Nakamura and having Gunther win the last few weeks, we've been like, oh, I guess they're just, you know, they're making him feel more relevant. That's so clever.
Yes.
Having him win this match not only makes him relevant, it makes him so important.
Yes.
It makes him a real big deal up there champion now.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, it's clever. Because now I'm like, whatever he does now, I want to know what it is.
You put him in a match where he can go chop for chop with someone, except the difference is that their skin bruises like a peach. It's like, Seamus looks like a bitch that loved a kendo stick.
Yep,
like, he looks like he was beaten.
I saw it happen with my eyes. It
was so much.
And no one bled. No one had a giant gushing pool of blood running down their face.
No, it's just all internal bleeding,
right?
Probably.
Exactly. Delicious.
Oh, some capillaries.
Internal bleeding. But
capillaries were burst.
But
for
how
sure.
did it felt so brutal? And yet you didn't need to blade. And I love them for that.
Yes.
But yeah, I just thought it was genuinely a masterclass. Is it me or did Gunther look a little bigger? Look a little...
No, he did. Yeah, musclier? Yeah, yeah. He definitely looks like he put on a little bit of bulk.
Yeah. Because
remember, but that's also like there's like the cycle, not that cycle, guys. I'm not insinuating he's on anything. But there is a cycle that I've learned from people like... friend of the pod, Ify Wadiwe, that you do bulking and cutting and bulking and cutting and bulking and cutting. So he might be in a bulk phase before he does another cut phase.
Yeah. He was looking less filled out, whereas now he looks nicely filled out and got some meat on those bones, which I thought he looked great.
I like body diversity, but whatever makes you happy, Gunty Gunt.
Yeah, he looked super healthy. I just think in a couple of weeks ago, like, he just looked kind of, like, it's like he's gone too far the other way. He doesn't look as imposing of a presence that... like lines up with his character, whereas this week he looked like, wow, he does look like that imposing character guy. Although, you know, maybe that was his fake tan, which was also discussed at length in the group chat.
Look, whoever came to Cardiff to spray everybody down,
well done to those girls who got that money.
I'm glad you got that money, but you gotta dial it back one or two, because everybody was looking real Oompa Loompa-y on the show.
It got Bailey had a touch of the Oompa Loompas to her for sure in that opening match. I mean, it was fine until she stood next to Alexa Bliss. I'm like, oh no. Oh no.
I'm trying to fix the color contrast and I'm like, oh, I can't. It's a computer. It's not.
Can't be done.
It's not a TV.
Can't be done. But yeah, I mean, another match that was great. The women's match, that was fantastic. The three-person tag match was fantastic.
Yeah, the six-man tag.
Six-man tag.
Yeah, six-man tag was fantastic. Bianca Belair, always a star, as always. Come on, Bianca.
Yep, took three of them to put her down, and it made everyone look strong. Everyone got their shit in. It's so fantastic. I loved the response on Raw when Bayley was like, oh, I pinned you, and I'll get back to that. I love that Bayley's not immediately running into this. She's like, oh, I'll take my match when I'm ready for my match. You got to take care of my girls first. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
but
don't
this.
Worry. Just let's put a pin in it.
Yeah.
We're coming back to it.
I love it. I love it so much. And then obviously, I mean, we have to talk about the Roman Drew.
Well, first, I want to make sure we get to Liv beating Shayna Baszler. I will say, great match. Both of them good. I was hoping it would be Shayna,
same.
But maybe they're saving it for like which it's funny when you think of it now and how large and intense that crowd was and how many there were. It's funny to think maybe they're saving that for a bigger pay-per-view, because watching it live with how fucking hyped that audience is, it was amazing. They were popping at everything. They were popping at Bailey so hard that, like, you could tell right. her like stepping back and being like, I can't be in that ring.
Oh yeah, she couldn't get in the ring for the first 15 minutes. And I will say, like, again, massive props to Bailey for controlling them the way that she did, because we know the UK crowd loves Bailey. Hey Bailey, mm-hmm. she will be your girl.
Yes,
like, but she's the heel here, guys. So like, let her heel, please. But the way she like got in the ring and cheered for it and then was like, no, I'm like, oh, she's so good. She's so good.
And she did the heel move, because you could see her smiling a couple times, but it's that kind of, it's when you turn a real smile into a heel smile, which is a very specific talent.
Yeah.
And
she's got it. She's got them.
She has got them. And so, that was great. Like I said, Liv beat Shayna, which, again, great for her, but I want it for Shayna so bad. I can taste it on my tongue.
I want my Shayna. I want my Shayna time. I'm pro Liv. I like Liv.
I like Liv a lot.
I just think it's not been the shining light for me, her championship run so far, but also it's been short and so much is going on, and I realize she's up against it. But I just do feel that character as the scrappy underdog works better when she's chasing than right now. And I feel like they tried to lean into it a little bit by saying, like, oh, she's been training with Matt Riddle to pick up some MMA skills to use against Shayna. And she did use them. She used a bunch of new skills,
which
but they
great.
Didn't push that enough. I'm like, I should have seen that training. I should have seen how desperately she wants this.
They did, but it was only on WWE.com.
Yeah, and I should have seen it on TV. Not to howl this, but I'm like, it should have been on the TV. I shouldn't have had to go look for it. I need something else from her now. If they're going to go with her, if they're going to keep running with her, I do need something else. Because also, you got two face women champ. I don't need Bianca and Liv as champions. I need.
And I don't think it's the right time to turn Bianca back into a heel.
No,
I think it's
no.
the right time to do something new with Liv that we haven't seen from her before.
Agreed, completely. Agreed.
I don't know which one of these. I want to talk about both of them so much. Let's save that one for later. We're going to talk about Drew.
Drew McIntyre. That's the worst Scottish accent ever. I apologize.
I was imitating.
You deserve devolution, Scotland, for that accent alone. May you get it if that is what you want.
But yeah, no, I was imitating what's her butt. I was going to say Thea, but that's like her. I was imitating her. Remember when she came? She was like, Drew! And he's like, you again. But yes, so once again, proving when you say, oh, there's a reason why they make these guys champion. And look, we've always been pro-sword.
Always pro-sword.
We are a pro-sword podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my God, I hope that Drew soaked in all of the love that Cardiff gave him.
I thought you were going to say Epsom salts, because that too.
Like,
I hope he
had.
I hope he was staying at the nice hotel around the corner that has the deep soaking tubs, and I hope they sent him a whole big box of Epsom salts.
Honestly,
for that baby boy.
I think at that point, it's one of those big tubs of ice that they used to take pictures of, like, Kobe in.
It's just the cryo changer, right? It's just like, get in the freezer. We've cut a hole for your head.
It's Roy Kent in, like, a recycling bin full of ice. Like, that's what that is. He brought back his Broken Dream music, which was great. Him versus Roman, another freaking barn burner.
Yeah.
Where you realize that it's amazing how these two people who, you know, 5 years ago, we would have been like, what the fuck is this match? And today it's like, what the fuck is this match?
Yeah.
It was so good. And the crowd was so pro Drew, which is fantastic because, like, you know, Roman's doing his heel shit. There was no other way to end it but with shenanigans. And it looks like they already had shenanigans planned. Plananigans, I guess is what you would call it.
Plananigans. It's plananigans. It's in the dictionary now. It's canon. Plananigans.
After what was already a match that was so good, we were all exhausted.
Spent, if you will.
And then the last 10 minutes were like, wake the fuck up, bitches.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't even finish my pancakes. I had to stop eating. I had to put down my fork and say, wait a second, this needs my whole attention. I think from the second Austin Theory's music hit, I was like, oh, okay, what the fuck? Okay. I just so much credit where credit's due to everyone who was involved in producing the match and everyone who was involved in the match itself.
Beautifully timed.
Like you say, these are two guys who are notorious in the industry for being disliked by fans for having them rammed down our throats, right? Like, that's the popular thing to say, that it's like, well, Drew was chosen by Vince and they forced him on us and we never wanted him. And Roman was chosen by Vince and they forced him on and we never wanted him.
Like, and well, Theory. People say that about Theory
and
as theory. Well.
And it's like, you have here just two and a half of the most talented guys in the industry. And I do think Theory has it in him. Like, he's still a baby and he's brand new. And
we've always seen it for him. It was just when they did that change onto
and
Raw,
we need to see
where he
how
didn't
it
make
plays
sense.
Out and what he does and whether or not he ends up being a decent human. We'll find out. But the fact that those two guys burned that place down, for
to
want
the ground.
Of a better pun, I cannot believe how good of a job they did. From being, like you say, 5 years ago, it would have been like, fuck this, I'm not even watching this, let alone be at the main event. And it was one of the best matches, one of my favorite matches of the year already, just for the fun of it, for the fun of it.
Austin Theory comes out, tries to cash in. Oh, no, first the ref gets knocked out. And so then it's like, oh, well, bye. Here's where the shenanigans start. Austin Theory comes in with his own ref, tries to cash in. Tyson Fury from above the thingy knocks his little ass the fuck out.
Fantastic timing from Tyson Fury. I mean, there's
fantastic
a lot to
timing.
Be discussed and to dig into on that young man. I will say perfect timing on that punch, Austin Theory.
Very, very well executed. After that, we get, ooh, who is this mysterious stranger? The first of two, who is this mysterious strangers of this weekend in different promotions, one being more obvious than the other. But it was, who was this mysterious stranger? And then who comes out? Solo!
Corey, that is Solo Sikoa, the Usos' younger brother. The street champion, the meanest of the bunch. The NXT standout, Roman Reigns' cousin, another member of the Anoa'i family.
We got our baby Usos. We got the baby Usos.
He got to do the very dramatic flipping of the hood, which Lord knows, baby loves a reveal. It was me, Austin. It was me all along.
I do need wrestling to find a new color hoodie, though, because it was black hoodies on every fucking show across promotions for like the last 3 or 4 weeks. In fact, forever and a day. When Rhea had the black hoodie, when she joined Judgment Day, it's too many black hoodies. Find another color hoodie. It still works. It could be blue. It could be gray.
I think it's stagehand shit is what it is. I think it's theater shit where it's like everyone wears black.
No,
but
time to change it. Time to change it.
Speaking of our special sweet baby, Rhea Ripley.
She made someone into a man.
Oh! And it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like the way he meant it was more like Mulan, I'll make a man out of you. But that's not how the internet took it.
Not how the internet saw it. It's also not how she fucking said it. So let's be real.
Let's be real
about this.
The fact is, he's not your little baby boy anymore. Because I saw the potential in him and I made him into a man.
I love that Dom just went to his closet and found his all black outfit. Like, he didn't go to the store. He was just I have this. It's fine. I have this. I definitely have something I can put together.
Because it is tailored.
It was very much giving, as I said to you at the time, bartender at your cousin's wedding who has to leave because his band has a show at midnight where he's playing keyboards and you can totally come if you want to, whatever, he doesn't care. It was definitely giving cater waiter bartender.
So Dom, finally, after we kind of figured, because once Edge came out and him and Ray were dressed the same, but like Dom didn't get the email or like wasn't invited.
And Dom was sad because he thought it was a family thing. The reason why this worked for me, the reason why I think this is good, is it has been teased for so long that it got to the point where I was like, oh, fuck me, they're not going to fucking do it. Or when are they going to do it? But they did the thing where it was now or never. And then it got to the middle phase where I'm like, well, now it's too late. Now I'm annoyed because I'm expecting it every week. And they waited long enough until we got all the way over the hump where it was like, yay, now it's cathartic again and it's satisfying. Hurrah, they did it well. And I knew it was coming, but I still, it was like, it was Christmas. It's like, I know it's coming. I've seen it on the calendar, but I'm still fucking pumped for it because I know it's going to be good. And good it was.
here's the problem is that, like, we ate all the advent calendar chocolate.
Yep.
It had been gone for, like, a minute.
Because we were like, we know it's coming, so we're just going to eat the chocolate ahead of time. And then we were left with no chocolate. And then we were annoyed because we had, like, a couple of weeks where we didn't have a candy to eat every day, which was our own stupid fault. But then Christmas came anyway, and it was still good. It was still good. Even though we ate the candy early.
Yes. It was amazing. And I have never cheered so hard for someone to turn on their own father. That's a lie. I love when family turns on family.
Never been so pleased to see someone punch their own dad. Like,
yes, I think the only people who were more pleased were fucking Rhea.
Yeah, Judgment Day really enjoyed it. Their reactions were magical. Punched Edge in the nuts. Edge fully entitled to go out on Raw and demand Dominic to come down and apologize for punching him in the nuts.
Yes.
You know, when Ray was like, I'm not going to throw hands with my kid. I'm like, you are, though, because it's your job. Otherwise, you're going to... Well, the other way to go is, like, they have to force Ray to join Judgment Day, right? Like, it could be a Daniel Bryan joining the Wyatt family situation.
What if
Dominic's like, well, if you really want to make it right with me, come over here and join Judgment Day. And then that's fun, too.
And then there's conflict in between the thing because he's still trying to get Dom's soul back. Oh, yeah. Amazing.
I love all of it.
Also, yes, Braun Strowman came back on Raw. We'll see.
That happened. Yeah. It's fine. It's not that's always for me. And that's not for me. And that's fine.
That's a wait and seer for me. Yeah. And I'm okay with that.
I didn't see Nicholas. Despite the fact he came and disrupted a tag team event, I'm like, well, this is clearly an opening for Nicholas. No fucking Nicholas. Justice for Nicholas. That's what I say.
Justice for Nicholas. You know what? I bet that it's like Nicholas is probably going through a growth spurt and it's like...
He's where Goldberg's son was that time he made him come in the ring and take his top off. Like,
yeah. He's like, no, I'm going to wait this one out. Y'all come check me out in 5 years when I'm an actual wrestler. So we continued in the UK. It was not Anarchy, but it was Worlds Colliding. And it wrapped up at NXT UK, which was basically like the swan song for that promotion as it now becomes NXT Europe, which again... Yep. That feels weird.
It feels like, weird, but the reason it makes sense to me is
it makes sense.
Wrestling, WWE is such a huge presence, especially in Germany.
Yes, yeah.
And NXT UK, while I loved it, mainly because I loved the titles, I love those belts. They are
They're gorgeous.
Cool fucking belts.
They have a lot of personality.
They're really beautiful belts, but I totally get that you need to open up your audience. It didn't make sense. If this is going to be your European promotion, why is it NXT UK? No one likes us. You fools. You could have asked me. I would have told you.
It was also very funny to see Irish people prominently featured on a thing called
being
NXT UK.
To be
I'm
NXT
like, I know
UK.
They hated that shit
and
so
like,
much.
Ilya Dragunov's like, what? Gunther's like, what? It's dumb, but it's
look,
fine.
I'm just
going
to say, if they wouldn't have known before, they would have known after this week, is all I'm going to say.
I have spent a lot of time having to explain to people, you know, like, no, Finn Balor is not, he doesn't need to win at home because he's not at home. He is at home, but he's not at home. You know, like, like he's Irish.
Yes.
He's not British. I love that boy. Love it all, but love you all. It's not the same thing. And I'm not saying that this is, you know, why the Queen died, but not a single British person won, you know? She had a rough week. Lizzie had a rough week. She had to watch NXT Worlds Collide. She had to watch Clash at the Castle. And then she had to make Liz Truss Prime Minister, and she's tapped out. And I say that with all due respect. A 96-year-old woman was like, enough's enough.
Yeah, she's 96, y'all. Like, it's one of those things where it's so shocking. It's like, I understand that there's like history, but she's also like a 96-year-old human.
Yeah, super had enough. And now we have Prince Charles. I assume he'll be at Mania. I don't know, King Charles, that's not.
It feels weird. I don't like it on my tongue.
It feels dystopian, right? It feels dystopian. Although maybe if he'd already been in charge, maybe NXT UK would have done better. I don't know. I wouldn't want that job at 73. If someone tries to promote me at 73, they can get to fuck. Like, guys, this is my sitting around in a moo-moo time.
I just want to like hang out and smell Pall Malls with like my hot mistress wife.
Yes, and watch NXT at a reasonable hour, which again, this was, and it was fantastic. But I thought it was a really good show. I really loved the show. All of the matches were good. It was the first time I've really loved NXT again in a really long time. And it made me watch NXT this week because I was engaged again.
It was really good. So we had like Carmelo and Ricochet, which was fantastic. Braun Breaker, which I think you could probably lose a K because it's too close to having three of them.
It's not. It is one too many case. It's like it's, yeah, you could just do one, and it's the same effect.
Add like another R. I just Breaker. Once you put more than one K next to another K, I start to itch.
The only messing of letters and names I will accept is Madison on this week's episode of She-Hulk.
I love Madison so fucking much.
Right? It makes me want to become a wrestler so I can basically walk around saying two N's, one Y, but not where you
not
think.
Not where you think.
It just, everyone should watch She-Hulk this week. This time. There are fewer wrestling shows this weekend. So
yeah,
go watch
time.
This week,
go
She-Hulk.
Watch it. It's really fun.
Is it not time? Like, it's nearly time. He has to be in the Rumble, right? They got to pull the trigger on Braun soon.
Also, just, we already have Braun Strowman back.
Yep.
Why don't change his name to Breaker? That's stupid. Why the fuck can't he just be a Steiner?
Well, his real name is Bronson Rick Steiner, right? Like, so his name is Bronson.
Right.
So I'm curious to see what they do when he goes up. I think he does have to go up as Steiner. I
he
really think
Steiner.
He has to go up as Steiner.
Come on, man.
Let's stop
with the flirt and let's get to the main fucking event. Like, yeah, you gotta start.
You've been edging me on this for far too long. It's time to pull the trigger on fucking Braun Breaker.
Or go home. It is 3 a.m. and yeah. I have work. Yeah, we've Mandy looked great. I love Mako Satomura.
I love her so much.
I love her so much. I hope that they use all of her talent and her skill. To elevate that roster because...
And she had a great match on Tuesday, the Roxanne Perez match, which I thought Roxanne looked fantastic. Like, I don't know so much about her. I know a little bit from the indies, or Ring of Honor, where she was before, but she's a baby. She's a tiny baby, and she looked fantastic. And working with someone like Mako Satomura is only going to make her better, faster. I thought it was fantastic. I loved it.
100. It brings us to our last show.
So much fucking wrestling.
So much wrestling, and we're trying to pack it all in before we get to the mess.
I love mess.
So Swerve and Our Glory and the Acclaimed. God, it was so good that Seth Rollins called it out in a shady tweet. That's how good that this was. That Seth called it out whilst also being shady.
I love the idea of Seth and Becky just, feet up at home, watching All Out. With that baby hanging out, being like, I guess we're going to watch it. And yeah, it was really good. And we all know I'm not the biggest fan of the Acclaimed. And specifically every time Max Caster opens his mouth rather than the Acclaimed and their work.
Mostly the rapping in ring. I like them. I even like I Will Scissor You Daddy, like, because that does sound like something I would say, so
it
I can't be mad at them for that.
When you end a sentence by screaming very loudly, now scissor me daddy ass, like that is objectively very funny.
It is objectively
and to get all of the AEW crowd shouting scissor me daddy and doing scissoring motions is objectively very funny.
Yeah, it's, I like that. I can't, because a lot of people were like, oh, you don't like the scissoring, and I'm like, have you never heard a thing that came out of my mouth? Have you literally never heard
me
talk?
No, the scissoring is the best thing. It's everything else they shouldn't be allowed to say. And again, not to jump ahead of ourselves, but the fact that they pussied out of letting him talk on fucking Dynamite this week was like,
well, that tells us something.
Daddy. So I think we all know. But yeah, it was a fucking fantastic match. The fact that Swerve and Keith Lee played heel because the crowd was clearly so into the Acclaimed, I thought they did such a good job, like playing to
Nailed
injuries,
it.
Working the way they did was fantastic.
That was another way where they really did tell a story in the ring with their bodies, like through the injuries and through the way that they worked. Jade, she was amazing. She looked amazing. She is amazing. She was fantastic.
I loved it. She should have Madison with her on Rampage this week. That's what I know.
Jane, do you like vodka? Have you had iced tea?
Just straight vodka? Yeah. No.
Sorry, we have to stop spoiling She-Hulk.
Yeah.
You gotta put a spoiler warning. It's just like, go watch She-Hulk before you watch this, like we did with Elvis and everything else we do pop culture. One of these days, we have to have just like us just doing a pop culture podcast. Because clearly we want it. So then Malakai Black, that was an interesting thing because he had his match And then later we found out that he had asked for his release for health reasons and was given a conditional release. Yep. But he ended his match with like a little bow and blowing a kiss.
Yeah, kisses and hugsies. Apparently there were hugsies off the broadcast too.
Oh,
I mean, I was following it all week when they said he had asked for his release and it had been denied.
Yeah.
Remember when we thought that might be the biggest thing we'd be talking about this week? But yeah, he allegedly asked for his release and had it denied. And then he asked for it on mental health reasons and has been conditionally released.
I think that just basically means he can still do all of the stuff he was already signed up for, but he can't like sign to another company for a minute.
So I hope he's doing good. It was a fun match. I just, you know, I like seeing him win, and I haven't seen that, which is maybe like why he's not there anymore. I don't know.
Look, go cuddle your kitties. Go have your wife just say "Drew" at you a million times.
Yeah. Go play cosplay with your wife. Like, take photos of her doing her dressings up. You'll have a lovely time. You will have a lovely time. You both like doing the same things and hang out with those cats. All out in general, I thought it was the most mixed show we've seen from AEW. Yeah. Again, without referencing any shenanigans, I felt like there were a couple of really, really fucking great matches. I thought there were a lot of matches that felt filler-ish. There were matches that felt obscenely short. Women's matches. The trios match, I think, and I, you know, we'll get into the trios of it all, but it was a fucking great match. It was a fucking great match because it was a great match. Fantastic wrestlers doing fantastic work that they cared about. And I think that's part of why it was so good. You could tell they all cared about it so much.
Yes.
The casino battle royal I felt was more of a miss because, as we know, it was actually just set up to play into the ending.
I do think it's so funny because when Stokes went up there, he got the thing and he's all like holding it up like, hey, I got it. And Big Cass is there for some reason or whatever we're calling him now. I don't fucking know. I can't keep up with it.
I don't need it. I don't want too many AKAs.
And so then like this person who is clearly MJF,
in the
worst mask you've ever seen, it like some fucking Hollywood superstore that they found that was like open.
Spirit Halloween's are open. Yeah. So they probably just picked it
Chicago.
Up on the way. Yeah.
Yeah. It was awful. And he comes out and like, it's so funny because I saw like a meme that was going around was everyone was like, yeah, we knew it was MJF from the ass in that pants. And before I'd seen that, we were in the group chat and I don't remember who it was, but someone was like, I don't think it's MJF, guys. And I was like, check the thighs.
Hal refused to accept it was MJF. And we know that Hal is MJF's biggest fan. And he just refused to accept it. I honestly was thinking about it. I'm like, maybe they could have just had someone else go out in the mask for the first part. You know, someone who wasn't so very fucking clearly MJF.
Or maybe have him wear like a robe or something. Yeah. Because I'm sorry, he is shaped very specifically.
Yeah, it's his shapings. And I'm like, I know them thighs. And I know that swagger. And I know the set of the shoulders. And if he didn't have...
the way that he would like do his little head movements.
Yeah,
like,
if he didn't have such a recognizable walk, you know, put him on the catwalks, baby. He's got a signature. But, I mean, whatever. It made the casino battle royal match not matter. And it already kind of didn't matter. So I didn't love that. The Christian Jungle Boy... we're hearing that was abbreviated because Christian is apparently injured, but then why do it? I mean, that's just me and my wacky ideas. And then moving to the main event, I'm like, you know, okay. And that's all I have to say. Because we'll get into it. But the match itself, I just didn't love the match. It's Moxley carried it. Mox did all the work.
Mox carried it hardcore.
He was absolutely killing it. He was having a great match. I fucking loved, and I nearly put this over, when Mox came out and walked through the crowd. And I was like, wow, he's still going to walk through the crowd in Chicago. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
And he paused for a moment and people were like shouting, chanting CM Punk in his face, and he just turned around and flipped him off, and he paused for like a whole 2 seconds and then like looked to camera and carried on walking. And I was like, oh, he's so good. The fact that the crowd was split, I don't think it's because of any acts of anyone else. I think it was split because people fucking love Moxley. And I think he was great.
I think that people love Moxie. Moxie's amazing. We all take for granted that Chicago is punk town, but this is also an AEW audience.
Yeah, and you can't take anything for granted anymore. It's not 10 years ago. Like, it's something different now. People love Mox. Punk hasn't been around for a minute.
I mean, I was also anticipating that MJF was going to come out at the end, and then he did the thing I thought he was going to do. And so I think that also a lot of people, and he's getting cheered in the middle of the ring.
Right,
you know?
And I think that's... again, that's wrong to blame anyone else for that. That's because MJF's been, I hesitate to say booked well, but MJF has put himself over so well. MJF did this all for himself.
You know, they spent all of that money on Sympathy for the Devil, and people love a breadcrumb where they can be like, I remember this. I'm also smart.
Yeah.
I know, because I love that too. It is also my favorite fucking thing to be
Twitter
like,
detectives.
I remember this. I'm
Twitter
so
detectives
smart.
Were on fire. But yeah, I just didn't love the match. I didn't love Punk's ropey floods of blood, which I'm glad that Hal didn't have to see or talk about. I didn't love that Mox had all of it until right at the end. I saw a lot of people complaining that they thought Mox wasn't selling hard enough towards the end of the match. I'm like, that's because he carried the whole fucking thing and he's carried the whole fucking company and you made him be interim champion and then now you're going to take it off him. Like you say, it was all telegraphed very clearly, even the way that he won the unification match. It felt really disrespectful to Mox for me, who maybe he can sit down and have a chat with Seth about being the guy that carries the company and doesn't always get all the respect that he deserves.
Man,
I don't know.
Them Shield boys, they really know about that, don't they?
Right? I can't wait for that podcast one day. But yeah, the MJF of it all, I thought was great, because right up until everything that happened immediately afterwards, I was pumped to see him back and to see what would come next.
And then we never talked about it again. If you've got any thoughts on the week in wrestling, you can tell us all about them in our Facebook group. And you can hear more about what we thought about wrestling on our Twitter pages. If you go to the Tights Bites Twitter page, Julian is sussy and spicy Julian. And if you stopped watching wrestling after the last pay-per-view Sunday, like pay-per-view ends, you go to sleep, you probably had a really light week. But just a few hours later was CM Punk's press conference from hell. We are going to talk about the gripe bomb up next on Tights and Fights.
We've got breaking news from our friends at Soylent. For years, food was thought only to be possible with items you left your house to purchase.
That's right, Lindsay. Driving out to a store, waiting in lines, paying for unhealthy drive-in food. Truly a nightmare of inconvenience.
Absolutely correct, Danielle. But now there's a brand new way that is healthy, tasty, and delivered right to your door. I've become a witch.
Sorry. You got it, Lindsay. It's Soylent. Get your curated order in healthy squares or delicious drinks like the Soylent Complete Meal. And you've got to give it... Why am I now doing Mid-Atlantic? And you've gotten to give this a taste, right, Lindsay?
Exactly right, Danielle. I'm a 1940s newspaper girl, and I'm going to start saying things like this. Lickety split, got to get this right. It's tasty, ready-to-drink plant-based shake with tons of protein in great flavors like chocolate, vanilla, mint, strawberry, and more. And the only thing better than convenient and delicious food is getting it for a discounted price. Isn't that right, Danielle?
You're my girl Friday. Sorry, out of character. You have overloaded the maximum correctness, Lindsay. Go to Soylent.com/tights and use the promo code TIGHTS to get 20% off your first order. That's Soylent.com/tights and promo code TIGHTS. Extra, extra, all ships at sea for 20% off your first order.
Who'd have thought you'd be so correct, Danielle? And look out for mine and Danielle's remake of The Thin Man coming in 2023.
Yeah, we should make The Apartment, though. We should rewrite The Apartment.
What happens when you give a bug recreational drugs?
What was the first recorded sound?
How do we figure out how old the Earth is?
Let's find out together on our show, Let's Learn Everything, where we learn anything and everything interesting.
My name's Caroline, and I studied biodiversity and conservation.
My name's Tom, and I studied computer science and cognitive blah, 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 blah.
Did you?
And my name's Ella, and I studied stem cells and regenerative medicine.
On our show, we do as much research as you would for a class, but we don't get in trouble for making each other laugh.
And we get to say f***.
Maybe not in the trailer.
Subscribe to Let's Learn Everything every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Danielle Radford, and I'm joined today by
Lindsay Kelk.
And we love mess. Now it's time to give one corner of the wrestling world some extra attention. This is our main event.
Anal bleeding.
Whoa! Holy shit!
WWE.com.
I love cake! I hate nuts!
On a hard-fought victory.
Live, pal.
What?
After regaining his AEW championship, CM Punk joined Tony Khan for a press conference that will live in infamy. Actually, you know what? After regaining his AEW championship, CM Punk joined Tony Khan for a press conference that will live in infamy. He launched into like this whole rant and a friggin' tirade that had him basically being like, fuck Colt Cabana, fuck MJF, fuck Adam Page, fuck Kenny Omega, and fuck the Bucks that are young. It was wild.
What did I ever do in this world to deserve an empty-headed fucking dumb fuck like Hangman Adam Page to go out on national television and fucking go into business for himself? For what? What did I do? Dave, what did I ever do?
You tell
me. Didn't do a goddamn thing.
Let's pause here for a second. Lindsay, how did you feel when you first saw this?
I watched it. I was watching it. So I
well, right,
didn't
because you've
watch...
been to many a scrum, right? So
yeah,
you've been
I didn't watch All Out Live. I was following along online. I watched it. I watched the matches the next day. But I did pop onto YouTube because somebody was like, you got to see this. And I got on while it was happening. I was like, what the fuck? I did an NXT one time when it was much more real lifey because it was just Triple H answering questions about NXT. It was at TakeOver in Brooklyn, SummerSlam, a couple of years ago in 2018, I want to say. And that was more about, he wanted to talk about, you know, the business of wrestling and the business of what he was up to. This one did not feel like any of the scrums I have been to. If you discount the first 20 minutes of it, it felt like an AEW scrum, which is Tony sat there not blinking, chugging water like an alien, egging
Need
on
sugar
his talent.
In yeah. water.
Just drinking sugar water, like a hummingbird. Just very enthusiastic. They're never my favorite scrums because it always is just a Tony love fest and Tony talking shit, and I don't enjoy it. And, you know, there's always a lot of, hi, my name is Brian from Wrestling is Wrestling, and I fucking love you, Tony. And Tony's saying, oh my God, that's so interesting. Thank you so much. I think that really speaks to the product, and it's not for me. This motherfucker. So I had started watching it on the AEW stream, and then I switched over to the Fightful stream to Denise Salcedo. She had a longer stream, so she had it from the very beginning when Punk comes and sits down. Because if you watched it on the AEW, it kind of started when he was already in the middle of the Colt stuff. He was tearing into this one reporter about his Scott Colton stuff. And the Fightful one, it may be different now, but the Fightful one started like right when he sat down. And he was like, oh, so this guy. And Punk comes in and he picks this one guy. I'm paraphrasing, but it's like, you used to do improv, and who did you do it with? And he was like, Scott Colton. And he was like, are you his friend? And he was like, oh, I haven't spoken to him for a minute, actually. And he's like, oh, okay. And he seems kind of surprised because he
and
clearly came in with an agenda. Yeah. He lost me when he started explaining to this gentleman how journalism works, and how if you're a friend of someone, you should disclose that, even if you're only a wrestling journalist. Like, firstly, he disparaged all the wrestling journalists in the room, being like, if you fancy yourself a journalist, even for a wrestling journalist, I'm like, go fuck yourself. And then, like, also, that's not how journalism works. You don't have to disclose who your friends are. You just have to provide unbiased reporting if that's the outlet that you're writing for. Many outlets are biased. Doesn't matter. Anyway, not the biggest point, it turns out. I was annoyed at that, and he hadn't even started. Punk just decided to disclose like a ton of personal information about his falling out with government name Scott Colton, Colt Cabana.
I can't believe the whole time he was like, oh, are you friends with Scott? Oh, how do you know Scott Coltman? We used to do improv together, which is like, bitch, it's Chicago. Everyone does improv.
If you live in Chicago and you haven't done improv with Colt Cabana, what are you doing? Like, are you trying? Do you leave your house?
and he's like, no, I don't talk to Colt Cabana. We don't see eye to eye. And that's where you can see that Punk is like, oh, well, me either. Or like, same for me. Or something. We're paraphrasing. Basically, he accuses EVPs from the company of leaking stories to the press that he was instrumental in the fact that Colt, who was regularly on AEW TV, is now on Ring of Honor, which is being taken as a demotion. And many people have reported that he would have gotten fired, but then it was decided to bring him over back to ROH.
He's been part of Ring of Honor in the past. Like, I remember him commentating the Ring of Honor New Japan Super Show I saw in New Orleans.
Also, we're not journalists, but Colt Cabana has been on the show. I guess if we're disclosing stuff.
Right? We should disclose. I fancy myself a journalist, even in professional wrestling, Phil. So I should disclose that I've met Colt Cabana on numerous occasions, and he has been on our show. I'm trying to be really, like, not a dick and just scream Punk, you fucking asshole, because it's so gross.
Bruh.
But it just doesn't make any sense. None of this makes any sense. He went there with an agenda. He went there with a complete lack of self-awareness. Every word out of his mouth when he was accusing other people of things. I'm like, you've done those things.
Like, if you haven't heard it, there are clips of it available if you don't want to watch the whole thing. I do suggest you watch the whole thing for context. Just put it on the background one day while you're cleaning.
Don't watch it right before bed the way I did.
No. Put it on while you're cleaning the way that my mom used to do, like SWV or Anita Baker or some shit. You know, Julian, you know how Black Saturday household, Black house cleaning goes. But so put it on like that and listen to it like a podcast, because that's essentially kind of what it was. He is shooting on him the whole time. People would try to ask other questions and he would go back and he'd be like, yeah, that's interesting. Stuff muffin in my mouth.
My spin drifts. The whole thing is unhinged. I say don't leave it on the background. I say watch it as a fucking study of like a bizarre minute of human life, because between Punk stacking up his spindrifts and inhaling his muffins and Tony sat there with his giant eyes.
He doesn't like it. Literally, Punk not only goes after Colt Cabana using his government name, he brings his fucking mom into it. Yeah. And I'm sorry, like, I've never tried to pretend that I'm from somewhere tough, even though military bases are kind of tough and Tacoma, Washington is kind of tough. But I never try to pretend I'm tough. I used to try to be tough, but I'm inside soft as a marshmallow. But I'm telling you, if my name is, you know, Rad Man Dan, and I'm a wrestler, and you go up on there and you're like, Danielle Radford and her mom, my mom's name, can suck my dick. Oh, we're fighting on site. It is fucking on site for you.
When I finally had to countersue him through discovery, we discovered he shared a bank account with his mother. That's a fact. And as soon as we discovered that fact and we subpoenaed old Marcia, he sent the email, oh, can we please drop all this?
He was trying to be Pusha T when Pusha T did a diss track against Drake where he's like, you are hiding a child. He's like, you're hiding a bank account with your mom. And it's like,
whereas there are many reasons to have a bank account with your mom. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's just a thing some people do for multiple reasons.
Yeah, one of those could be because it's an easy way to like transfer money between you because your mom doesn't know what PayPal is and you want to help pay her bills.
Yeah, like maybe his mom co-signed on something for him in the past, which is like a very common thing that parents will co-sign for their children.
Maybe he co-signed
for
something
for her. Like, it's, we have not no our idea. Business. It doesn't fucking matter. It's so ugly. And that's was my biggest problem with all of it. And I had so many problems with all of it because I just thought, more than anything else, it was ugly. Pro wrestling is a fucking joke. The whole thing is entertainment. It is entertainment. I'm sorry. Whatever else you think, it is entertainment. And you made it really fucking ugly. You made something that's already silly look stupid. I just couldn't get my head around what he was trying to achieve. And the fact that he just kept acting as though he was elevating himself above the business of wrestling, mm-hmm. and that he would never behave like this, and he doesn't care what Colt Cabana does, but you keep bringing him up. Colt Cabana hasn't mentioned you.
Yeah, keep your name out of his mouth.
Did he mention you before this press conference? Was he involved in All Out? Was he anywhere in any of this? No. You have created a narrative in your brain that the reason things are going, and you're a champion. Let's bear in mind, he sat here with the belt on his shoulder. He is the champion of the company.
I just want to do a timeline for why he is such a little cranky pants. At a certain point, Hangman Page and him, before he gets injured, they have, like, during their feud, they have a promo where he's like, essentially Hangman says to him, you say workers' rights, but that's not what you are.
Because it's not just about what happens in this ring. It's what happens when that red light turns off. What happens when you go back through the curtain, those small, quiet moments when you think no one's watching. That's what makes a champion. You talk a big game about workers' rights, yeah? Well, you've shown the exact opposite since you've gotten here.
AEW, one of the things that is good about them is that they don't heavily script their promos, but you should still be polite and ask. That's what happened with Sammy and Eddie, where it's like, you gotta talk to people about their boundaries. But he got in there and said that, which is like, that's also a very common promo against Punk.
Yeah.
Like, Triple H has done it. Other people have done it. That is a common thing for people to be like, you go into business
also,
for yourself.
This was months ago.
And so then when he gets back, he shoots a little bit on Paige.
First on time.
My
on
7 minutes device. Exactly. Now on to the important things. That's not cowboy shit. That's coward shit. Yeah. A little bit of advice, and I suggest you take. The apology must be as loud and as public as the disrespect.
We talked about that on the podcast. We were like, why is he calling him a coward? Why did he call him out? This is so
that
weird.
It has nothing to do
He's
with
not
anything.
Not even there.
And
now,
then
now we know.
Exactly.
Now we know.
And so then he brings this up. And so that's why there are so many people who are like, this is a work. You're being worked. You're being worked.
No, there's no way. There's no way.
Because what does it serve?
I have to say this because, Danielle, you're 100% right. This is one thing that made me very angry.
You can cut in and say I'm 100% right anytime you want. Anyway, continue.
The people that said, like, it's obviously a work, you idiots. You guys can go fuck yourselves, because they made me so angry, because it's like, it's become wrestling's version of yelling fake news whenever something's happening that you don't want to be real.
Yep.
But I think that there were other people that I realized later that were thinking, this must be a work because it was such a bizarre scene.
Yeah.
Because it was just so unheard of for the CEO to just sit there while he was running down everybody.
For a CEO to sit there and for your champion to speak that way on his company. And we talked about this, that, you know, if anyone else did this at their workplace, you would just be walked out with, you wouldn't even get your stuff in a box. It would just be like, I'm afraid this is gross negligence.
We'll pack this up for you. Security is coming.
There's no way that they don't have morality clauses in their contracts, right? Where if you bring the company into disrepute in any way, or you make the company look bad, or you like shit talk your...
This episode's probably going to go long.
I know. Sorry, guys. We're talking about contracts. We've hit one of our key targets here. Now we only have cats and butts. We've done cats. We've got butts to go. And we're going to talk about a butt because someone got bitten on the bottom. So we're going to hit all of our targets today. I just couldn't get my head around the planning of it. This is the thing, people are like, oh my God, he just went off. I'm like, no, he went with an agenda. He's been planning this for weeks. We know Punk is great at talking off the cuff. Did he pre-plan the line they couldn't manage a target? Not an easy feat, sir. I'd like to see you run a target.
The fact that I have to sit up here because we have irresponsible people who call themselves EVPs and couldn't fucking manage a target, and they spread lies and bullshit and put into a media that I got somebody fired when I have fuck all to do with him.
A target? Have you seen how big a target is, bitch?
A 3-4 fucking target with like multiple seasonal changeovers and many departments, like, and concessions. You got a Starbucks in there. You got a Pizza Hut in there. Like, fuck you, Punk.
My parents took care of my whole life after my dad retired, both running just like sections of department stores and
Same.
Making good money.
My mother was also a retail manager, and it's not easy. It's not easy.
And it is like not, I don't mean to be that person that's like, please delete this because it takes away the rights of, I don't mean to be that person, but I'm going to be that person. You seem like an elitist piece of shit when you're like, oh, you couldn't run a target. Bitch, do you know how hard running a target is?
You run a target. You don't walk into that job, Philip. This is the thing. It was all pre-planned. It was ugly. And the lack of self-awareness from him, of every word that came out of his mouth, accusing people of going into business for themselves, accusing people of running him down, of planning to put him down, of planning to put other people over above him. When he made a reference to, say, when your top baby face, you're trying to middle your top baby face. Also, he really leaned into his terminology, which was cute.
But that's always his complaint, is like, oh, you're trying to... I'm your top champion, but you're not making me. I'm sorry, Phil. They gave you your ice cream fucking sandwiches this time. What do you want?
Yeah, you're holding your ice cream bar on your shoulder. You have it on your shoulder. They just sacrificed Mox to you to give you your belt, and you still went back there to do what you went to do. It was not off the cuff. It was not coincidence. He planned this, and he went in knowing this, even though he knew he was going to win. Tony Khan has jeopardized his entire company on the whims of an angry Dolly that can never be pleased. Do you feel good about yourself, Tony, when you wake up and you think, I got my favorite Dolly, I got him. No, everyone wanted him, I got him. Well, clever fucking you, because this is what you opened the door to. This is what you've done. Again, this getting in front of it, if I was Kenny and the Bucks and Hangman and all of these people that are involved, I would quit. I would leave. Because how can you work with someone that does not have your back?
Exactly. Because during that entire thing, Tony is sitting there and you can watch the five levels of like grief go over his face of like denial, fear, anger, like all those things. Where it's like, and at a certain point, he's just checking while like, oh God, please don't talk to me. Please don't talk to me.
And but he fully does arrive at acceptance because he decides to double down and go with it.
Basically, it's like when Woody shoved Buzz out the window and just like, if I'm not number one, nobody can be. And then it's
the exactly. Dolly analogy just is the gift that keeps on giving, because it's just more and more apparent every day. It's like the Bucks were his favorite Dollies and Cody was his favorite Dollies because they opened the door for him to bring in everyone else. Without mm-hmm. the Bucks and Kenny and Cody, there isn't an AEW.
No.
Tony is the money. Tony makes it happen, but they put together yes. the company. What we've seen happen ever since that day is Tony was just like, actually, no, I'm going to get all my favorite Dollies and you can go sit in the box and you guys can have a trios title and you just do that and that's fine. Do your little thing over there. I've got my main Dolly now. He's my favorite. I got to bring MJF back and put him in a title picture with him, because otherwise I'm going to lose that Dolly. And it's not even that I desperately want to keep that Dolly, but I don't want the other boys to play with yep. that Dolly, because I don't really want to give that up to the neighbors.
My daddy bought that for me for my birthday. You're kind of allowed to play with
it's
it.
It's mine. Even if I'm not playing with it, it's my Dolly. The whole thing is, I keep saying it, it's just because I'm still shocked. I still can't believe it. It's been days.
Well, no, and we're going to hear more information. And when we actually hear what happened, and that's not conjecture, because I'm going to bring some conjecture and speculation into this probably at some point.
Cats and butts and cats and butts and cats and butts.
Cats and butts and cats and butts.
We've cleansed the timeline.
Timeline. And so, like, okay, so as though that wasn't already enough, what Punk said several times was, if you have a problem, come find me, which, okay, you could have found anyone and talked to them outside of this instead of going on the scrum and doing it there, but that's fine. And so I'm sprinkling a bunch of allegedlies on this. So just assume everything I say is allegedly. According to reports, what happened was that the Bucks and Kenny went to his locker room, which is the locker room, including a bunch of other people. People are saying MJF might have been there. People are definitely saying that the head of talent relations, Christopher Daniels, also known as one of the best parts of the Waterworld experience at Universal, was there.
I mean, we're no longer impartial at this point. Once Christopher Daniels is involved, we're no longer impartial. Obviously, we're a fan of Waterworld. So, the head of legal at AEW is rumored to have been there.
My understanding is that it is the head of legal for the Jaguars, which is basically, it's a lawyer. That's all that matters.
Yeah, they brought lawyer. They gave him a dollar. They retained his services and they brought her. Fantastic.
I believe it's a her.
That's even better.
And then there were other people in there. Larry the Dog, Kenny Omega, bunch of folks who were like not involved. There are different reports where one of them was like, oh, the Bucks kicked the door down. It's like, do y'all think that the Bucks kick door downs? They slap their thighs. What are we doing? All parties reportedly have said that Punk threw the first punch. Everyone has said that... God, this is so ridiculous to
say. I feel like I'm in the head teacher's office, because yes. I was in the playground when the boys started fighting and someone needs someone to tell them what happened. And I don't really want to tell the head teacher what happened, because I'm not a narc, but I was there and they know I was there. So I have to tell them what happened.
Right.
And what I heard, Mr. Headmaster, is that Phil threw a punch at one of the brothers, and the other brother was really mad. And then Phil threw someone threw a chair, and it was Phil or it was Ace Steele, who is Phil's friend. They threw a chair, and that hit Nick Jackson. And then Kenny came in, and Kenny tried to get Larry the dog out of there because Larry was barking
because
and he was
loves
sad.
Dogs,
and kitties and puppies love Kenny Omega. It's in his Twitter bio. He says it all the time. Like, there's no way he would have hurt that doggy, Mr. Headmaster. So he picked up the doggy and he handed him off. But then when he came back into the room, Ace Steele charged him and he pulled his hair and he bit him on the bottom.
In the US, I would say this feels very like sixth or seventh grade.
It's not even junior school. It's fucking infants. This is like your five or six. Like, even the junior school, you would have just beat the shit out of him and moved on. I'm from a bad area. But like, you would have just beat him up and moved on. Ace Steele is pulling hair and biting, sir. Biting.
That's how I fight. Bitch, you supposed to be a professional combat fighter. I fight by pulling hair because I'm
right,
hoping
and
your
let's
wig
bear
flies
in mind,
off and I can
on
throw
the
it back
same
in your
promotion
face.
That is currently running a t-shirt that says fight like an eight-year-old girl, and you had an eight-year-old girl come out and pin someone, and then like backstage you've got fucking trainers biting and pulling hair. Wow.
No, it was super wild.
And this all happened while Tony was still conducting the press
yes,
conference.
Yes, the scrum. No.
Yeah, he's still in the scrum. We saw Tony Storm and we saw Swerve
right.
in Our Glory. And then when Tony is talking on his own, you know, he really doubles down on this. Like, well, I guess we see that some wrestlers don't like each other and that's fine. It's good for business. Like, this is the reality of it. I'm like, that was dumb. That was fucking stupid. That was when you had a chance to say, CM Punk doesn't speak for the company. He obviously has his own personal stuff going on, and I won't address that right now. He should have said no comment on that. I'm going to have to address that outside of here. Because while he was merrily doubling down, someone was getting bitten on the bottom.
Literally, all you have to say is, that was CM Punk. I still believe in my EVPs, but, you know, he didn't. And so what happened is, after the alleged fight,
the melee. I believe we're calling it
people.
A melee on
the
internet, which is very cute.
People who got suspended were The Bucks, Pat Buck, Kenny Omega, Micah Nakazawa suspended, Ace Steele and Punk. We don't know what's happening with that.
Brandon Cutler's out too, right? Is Brandon Cutler suspended also? I assume he was spraying like cooling spray on The Bucks as it was happening.
Yeah, because literally it sounds like a bunch of dudes got into a fracas in a locker room, which is a shared space where a lot of people are.
A locker room that had a dog in it.
Yes.
Don't bring your dog to work, people.
We're still learning things about like legal, and there's a reason why. So when AEW came back on Wednesday, Tony, in his most restrained, but still in like a wrinkled shirt that was not tailored, and still with his eyes not blinking, was like, hey, we're vacating the Trios champs and we're vacating the AEW champs.
After the events, I am forced to vacate the championship and the Trios championship.
Hi, thank you for joining us tonight, and welcome to AEW Wednesday Night Dynamite on TBS. Following All Out on pay-per-view this past Sunday night, I've been forced to vacate the AEW World Championship, as well as the AEW World Trios Championship.
You being forced, billionaire playboy Tony Khan. You're being forced. Your arm is up behind your back. You should have taken accountability there and said, I have decided to vacate, not I am forced to. That was such a baby move. It's like, don't hate me, but I have to take the toys off your faves. Like, I don't want to take the toys off your faves, but I have to. How many times have we said one of the biggest problems with AEW is there is no authority there? People joke about the authority in the WWE because they made the authority a character. But while you've got the man to push against, like, you have a set-in villain all the time. AEW doesn't have it because Tony wants to be everyone's best friend. And I think someone learned a big lesson this week that that's not possible when you're the fucking boss.
And Vince, like, became the Vince McMahon character after, like, the screwjob. So, like,
is this Tony's screwjob? Is this where there has to be a sea change in AEW? Does there have to be a change in the way everything is run? Will there be a change? Will people leave? We don't know.
We have no idea what is going to happen with Punk.
He's injured, right? This is the thing. He's officially injured. He's out 6 to 8 months.
Exactly. And so that's what we know.
But not been officially announced as fired or suspended, just announced as injured.
Right.
Whereas the other people have been announced as suspended.
It's also been announced that there might be legal things involved, and we don't know anything about that. But, like, do you find this to be, like, a distraction from what is happening on AEW TV?
I did watch Dynamite this week. I'm sure the numbers were huge. I didn't check them. I should have. I never checked numbers.
I did actually look.
Fancy yourself a journalist, as Phil would say.
In a past life, when I wasn't doing improv, they were fine. You know, they did over 1 million.
Yeah, I figured they would top 1 million.
That's great.
Very clear drop from we're tuning in to watch the fallout, and then maybe like they stuck around for MJF and Moxley's promos, which were very good.
Excellent.
Then precipitous decline throughout the rest of the show, which happens all the time. But this time it was very clearly like 1 million people are tuning in, and then everybody's like, oh, the matches are happening. Okay. And they're not going to do anything else. Okay. That's the end of this, you know? So
that to me speaks to the quality of the rest of the show. Honestly, the opening promos were fucking incredible. MJF played the crowd like a violin. He was fantastic. The way that he came out to be like, I'm the savior. I love all of you. I think this is fantastic. Then Mox came out and called bullshit. Fantastically. Well done.
I'm not going to lie. That was a CM Punk promo.
The way I kind of thought about it was, I think part of MJF did mean a lot. Like, I think they trusted him to, like, let's get the show back on track and get the crowd excited.
Because you fucking have
to. But then when Moxley comes out, we bring up 100% character MJF, where you don't give a shit about anybody. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's part of his real personality, too. I don't know. It was great. It was really, really great.
I really felt like the cleverest thing that he did was when he started talking about WWE.
Maybe I take that title to a real wrestling company with real fans and real wrestlers like my friend and hero, the American roller coaster, Cody Rhodes.
What he did in that moment was reminded everyone else there was another villain to team up against. It's like, we are not your enemy. There is an enemy, and they are over there. We are not your enemy. We are the saviors. Between Mox and MJF, they did such a good job of reminding you why you're supposed to love AEW and why you're supposed to hate WWE. It was a masterclass in distraction. It was totally like, don't look over here, look over there, look over there, look at this shiny thing, look at this shiny thing. Remember, we all hate this other thing. Let's reunite ourselves in our hatred of that thing.
Right. I still think competition is good. Competition is great. It forces everyone to have to elevate and do better.
I just don't think it's been handled yet. Right? That's the issue. To me, it demonstrated that Tony does not have the ability to hold this shit together. He doesn't know how to do it.
He has a deep roster of veterans. He has a William Regal. Like, use these folks.
And please, it demonstrated to me that CM Punk is a bitter little baby man with absolutely zero self-awareness who will never be happy. Wherever he goes, this follows him. What's the consistent here? In the variables in all of the experiments, what's the common denominator?
At a certain point, it's you. Sorry. And I look, Pipe Bomb brought me back. Gripe Bomb?
Make it stop. Make it go away. I don't need to see CM Punk in a wrestling ring again. And I don't need to see him with a microphone in his hand. It's been a year. It's not been great.
And at this point, really quickly, one last point. There were reports that he had been planning this in front of the mirror, like, as he's been, like, flexing and training and being like, okay, so call on Nick first, allegedly, reports, call on Nick first, do all the stuff about Colt. But it's also, like, reportedly he was injured during the match. Someone did the math, I don't remember whom, that during his time as champion, he's only been on, like, 6 or 7 shows as champion. Yeah. So like,
and
six
because
days,
of injury,
6 days, of
six
holding
days.
A championship.
So
of
it's
working,
like you
can't
at this point. If I'm Punk, I'm thinking there's no fucking way that when I come back, I'm getting another championship shot. No. It's done.
Also,
it's
if
done.
I'm Punk and I got all my shit in, if I'm like I went to All Out, I got my belt back in front of my hometown crowd.
Yes.
I got to sit backstage and say every single little thing that I wanted to say.
Yes.
I would be like, I'm done. I, you know, he wanted to come back. He wanted to go out on his own terms. If this isn't going out on your own terms, I don't fucking know what is.
Well, I mean, fucking, we'll see what the lawsuits say. The fallout between CM Punk and AEW continues. One of the wildest years in wrestling ever. Oh my God, our wrap-up of 2022 is going to be ridiculous.
We probably need to start recording like now to get everything.
Because I'm not going to remember. We need a timeline. We need to start like actively trying to build a timeline. If you want to talk more with others about this who love wrestling as much as you do, join our Facebook group. Follow us on Twitter. Links are down in the show notes. When we come back, we have three things from wrestling that we're going to share with you, and that is up next on Tights and Fights.
Are you ready to binge watch something old?
The Greatest Generation is a podcast about Star Trek by a couple of hosts a little bit embarrassed to even have a Star Trek podcast. Hosted by me, Ben Harrison.
And me, Adam Pranica. We get into the critical, the technical, the science fictional aspects of the show we love, while roasting it and each other at the same time.
We've completed an entire series about Star Trek The Next Generation, and another one about Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and we've just begun Star Trek Voyager. So now is a great time to start watching a new Star Trek series with us.
So subscribe to The Greatest Generation on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and become a friend of DeSoto today.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Danielle Radford, and I'm joined today by...
Lindsay Kelt.
This week, we're going to share some of the joy of wrestling with you. This is the three count.
Watch my three count. One, two, three. Get out of there.
That was sick.
Lindsay Kelk, what you putting over?
In a week of weeks, there are many, many things I could have put over, but what I am putting over is, honestly, the thing that brought me the most wholesome joy. I'm bringing it back. I'm bringing it back.
Yes.
Kids.
Wholesome joy.
Wholesome joy that the whole family can enjoy. WWE, YouTube, WWE.com, they do fantastic fucking work. They do such good work. And as one of the promos for Clash at the Castle, they put together a short film. It's a couple, just a couple of minutes of Damien Priest going to work on a farm in Wales with a traditional Welsh family.
To be honest, I'd never met a WWE superstar before. Didn't know what to expect.
All right, then. Shidachi.
And if he was willing to muck in, well, he was most welcome.
Come on, lad. Those sheep won't shear themselves. Dere, cloy.
No!
Other thing about shearing a sheep is to hold the little buggers down. You got to keep him still, right? Or there'll be a hell of a mess. Were you still when they sheared you, eh?
The whole thing is so well done, and I thought it was very, very clever. It made me love Damien Priest so much that he was down to do it. He's so funny. He's a perfect straight man. He's genuinely very, very funny in it.
Mm-hmm.
But please do go to the WWE's YouTube channel and check it out. I think it is called What's the Hardest Thing About Shearing a Sheep? It's on BT Sport. I think it's on the WWE YouTube as well. But you can, we'll put it in the show notes. And it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Loved it. Made me so happy before all of this happened.
Julian Burrell, we do not have a howl today. What would you like to put over?
Okay, so I think everybody's reactions to CM Punk burning down his new favorite company was very different. I loved all the memes on Twitter. I think that was great. A lot of really funny stuff. Whenever tragedy happens, you can always count on Twitter to deliver the goods. My reaction was a lot of anger. I was very, very mad, and I was surprised at how mad I was at the whole not like in that I was letting it ruin my day, but I was just very, very angry at Punk. I was angry at Tony for enabling all of this for so long. I was mad at the situation, and I was angry because it felt like the facade of CM Punk had finally crumbled. Like, I really wanted to believe that, like, he had taken these past 7 years and had, like, even though I wasn't as big of a fan of him as I used to, I wanted to think, like, well, this is a different person. And because wrestling is the most forgiving sport in the world. I feel like he will be back. But for me, this is done. The bloom is completely off the rose, and I don't have any interest in ever watching him in a wrestling ring ever again in any storyline form. And one person that actually, I think, captured that enmity pretty well was Jonathan Snowden, who wrote a Substack article entitled "Welcome to the Miserable World of CM Punk, the Grievance King Brings His Toxic Acts to AEW," where he kind of goes into it. It gets a little bit too fanboyish of AEW towards the end of, like, AEW was an idea that we all believed in and blah, 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 blah. I don't really identify with any of that.
Because it's a show for people who make money.
Right. I'm just like, it was a, it's a company that's trying to make you buy things, dude. It's not whatever. But all that said, he does a good job of capturing what I feel, which is that CM Punk is kind of a fraud now. Like, all of his, I want to make things better. I believe that things are toxic. I want this thing. No, doesn't matter anymore. Don't care about it. I don't need it. I will never count his word as anything but something that he used to grift people to make money. That was what it was all about at the end of the day. Like, go read that article. It'll be linked in the show notes like everything else is. And yeah, CM Punk, please stay home. Stay home in Chicago. Don't come back. I don't ever want to see you again.
I will say I did see a tweet. There were so many good tweets. There were so many great tweets, Julian, and we've been sharing them. And Julian
draws
your attention to something really important. Though I wanted to talk about the one that was a photo of JC Jane and Gigi Dolin that said WWE's Toxic Attraction. And then it had a picture of AEW's Toxic Attraction and it was Punk. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty fucking great. That's pretty fucking great.
Yeah. As for me, that's literally what I'm putting over. There is nothing better than Twitter when mess happens. We have seen it multiple times this week for multiple different things. Funny Girl, we saw it for Don't Worry Darling, we saw it for what's happening with AEW, and then we saw it because obviously Lizzie passed away because she's old. And so it has been a week for Twitter. AEW stuff, first of all, there have been amazing TikToks, really funny sketches that came out almost immediately because wrestling, especially Black wrestling Twitter, yo, like, y'all be on it. It's so funny and it's so great. And obviously, like, there are serious journalists who are trying to get news out as much as they can. And then people are like, you're reporting on things too soon. And then they're like, but tell us everything you know. And then they're like,
that's what reporting is.
Yeah. And they're like, well, stop telling us stuff because you're biased. And it's like, well, what do you want?
They literally are tweeting that whilst watching Fox News at home. So I'm not worried about those people who claim bias in professional wrestling journalism.
It's also a professional wrestling journalist, all entertainment journalists. Anyway, it's different. Anyway. It's fine. But yeah, so I am putting over Black Wrestling Twitter because y'all did what y'all do and y'all did it consistently. There are so many great tweets and sketches. If you get a chance, God, so many people have been so consistently incredibly friggin' funny during all of this, which is obviously a bummer because it's like we prefer there to be more wrestling than less wrestling. We don't like when people get bitten or hurt or any of that stuff. But man, what a wild fucking week. So that does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This won't be the wildest week, I feel like. I feel like there's going to be, as stuff comes out, and it's coming out now, but it's mushy, so we're not like super talking about it. When things start solidifying and people start flapping their gums, whew, this is going to be amazing. But this week, your hosts were Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Danielle Radford. Lindsay Kelk, what you plugging this week, my love?
Shockingly, the same as always, books.
Yeah, buy books.
Books, read some books, my books, if you feel so obliged, that would be magic. There's very few mentions of CM Punk, but not none. It's never a 0% chance of a wrestling reference in my books, basically. There's always at least one sneaks in.
In fact, at least one wrestled recently, a reference that you meant. That you made, and I will say that and say nothing
else. Fabulous. Thank you so much. But yeah, books, check them out. Available from all good book buying places and libraries. Support your local libraries. Love to libraries.
Libraries are dope. Julian, do you have anything to go ahead and plug?
Nothing major. Go follow Tights and Fights on Twitter. I had a lot of fun talking about everything that happened in the last 2 weeks with you guys.
You were so spicy. It's amazing how like calm he is on the podcast, but as soon as like he gets on Twitter, he's like, let me fucking tell you. And he's like cracking all of like these jokes, and like, it's amazing.
You know, that's my version of the pipe bomb, and I will never
letting the choppa fly. I get it.
Don't need to worry about me starting a fight at a press conference.
Let the choppa sink.
You can also go listen to Go Fact Yourself and the JV Club with Janet Varney, the other shows that I work on for Max Fun. Some good episodes coming out, especially for GFY. We are back in front of live audiences for the first time in a while. I think the next like three episodes should all be in front of audience. So if you want that parasocial interaction of podcasting along with hearing people laugh and cheer, go listen to that show.
Perfect. And as for me, as per usual, follow me on socials. I will tell you where I'm at. Recently, I did some stuff on the G4 Twitch and YouTube channels where I talked with very, 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 very funny friend of Honest Trailers, Vanessa Guerrero. Go check those out. Yeah, I'm always working on stuff. So yeah, just go find me on there. Our producer is Ready Player Pun, Julian Burrell. You motherfucker. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're always putting him over for that. Thank you to all of the Max Fun members that keep the show going. Seriously, we could not do this without y'all. Keep up with us all week long on all of our social media channels in the show notes. That's also where you can find the official Tights and Fights t-shirt. That's right, wear us on your boobs. We'll be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.